God's people, let's get going. God's people are people of vision. Let me say it again. God's people are people of vision. They are people with vision. They are people full of God's hope. The life in Christ produces and reveals kingdom initiatives or assignments for your life tailored specifically for you. So here's what I want to say about that. It's important for us to hear that us coming to church and living a life in Christ Jesus is not about us getting all the do's and don'ts right. It's not about us wondering whether or not I live this week correctly or if I'm going to live next week correctly. What the real initiative and assignment of the gospel of Jesus Christ is Jesus at the center of everything I'm doing. Because you can read the Bible and go through Old Testament, New Testament, and you can see a lot of people, men, women, and children that made a lot of mistakes that still pursued God as center and number one in their life. And God blessed them, He increased them, and He used them. So I think many times, you know, we approach church or God's people or the Bible or religion, as it were, in society, and we assess our lives with whether or not we've done it right or we've done it wrong. Can I just tell you that Jesus made it all right? I'm just pursuing Him as numero uno. So we've got to take the checklist and put it to the side and say, Lord, you know, open our arms wide open. Say, God, what is it that you have for me? It's really an issue. We'll get into it in a minute. It's really an issue of surrender and submission of God. What is it that you want to do with my life? And I promise you, as you pursue Him and you walk out that question and you ask it daily, I think you will start seeing a bright future, because God will start speaking back to you about how you're fearfully and wonderfully made. Come on. About you, how you are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works. You spend any time with God and He just starts puffing you up and telling you about how you are everything that He designed you to be. And most of the time when the body of Christ is downtrodden, beat up, life's got them by the tail and got them by the ear and got them by the nose, is that we haven't spent much time with God. We hear about God, we know about God, but we're not actually individually, personally spending time with God. I did not have a good week this last week. But it doesn't change. God's got this. He's taking care of me, my wife, my family, our church. And we stay focused on what it is that He's doing. Well, look at this scripture right here, 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, meaning they've given their life to Jesus Christ, I'm in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Old things have passed away. Old appetites, old desires, old dreams, now they've all changed. And the desire of my life is to ensure that I bring glory to God in every area of my life, because the Bible says that the old is gone. I know it likes to try to drag you back into the past, but the old is gone and the new is here. And we remind ourselves when we come with God, when we get together with God, and He continues to shower us with His goodness and His encouragement, He's pulling us into the future. Because you may not be that sweet person He's talking about, but He's pulling you into the future. You're becoming the man or woman of God that He's talking about. That's good right there. The enemy is trying to pull you back, suck you back into the past, but the Word of God and His goodness and His encouragement is pulling you into the future. I see a bright future. I don't know about you, but I see a bright future at Legacy Chapel. I see a bright future in my family, the Epperhart family, and in my boys. I see a bright future. So what is vision? Vision, one guy, several people put a collection of these things together. They're put in layman's terms, so you won't find any of these in Webster. They're just kind of real people giving their assessment of what is vision. Vision, Personal vision is the dominant thought or factor that governs your life. Vision determines the choices that you're making. Vision is what's left when everything is peeled back and at the core of who you are. That's vision. Vision clings to the like glue to the inside of your rib cage. Vision is on your mind naturally, and it gravitates there even when you're not thinking. Vision determines your friendships and your new friendships that you're making. Vision is what your prayers are all about and your dreams, and it's where your money goes. Vision is the course that God is setting you on. Today, I want you to ask the question throughout this message and throughout the weeks is, where's God taking me? What's the vision that God's placed in my life? I may not be there yet, but God's taken me there. I may not be the perfect person that I feel like God wants me to be, but I'm on my road going there. I may not be the husband or the dad or the person that I know that he is putting those images and pictures of who I am, but man, I'm on the road. I'm on the direction. I'm not who I used to be. God has a plan. God has a purpose for your life. God wants more for your life than just surviving each day. And his purpose for you is to be filled with vision. Paul encouraged the early church by confirming God's plan to reveal, watch this, his individual plan for your life. Some of you know this verse, chapter and verse, 1 Corinthians 2:9-10. It says this, quoting the first part from Isaiah. It says this, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him." Verse 10, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. So you would say, well, Pastor, how do I know that the vision that I feel like I have for my life really is the vision that God has for me? The Bible confirms, and Paul articulates it well by saying, your natural senses cannot assess or determine what really is the vision for your life. Because we would see the struggle and the mistakes and the shortcomings and the potholes of life, and we would conclude that maybe God's vision and plan for my life stinks. But the Bible says that it's only by his Spirit does he reveal the things that he has individually designed for your life. So if we come at God with just our brains on, and that CD, by the way, that's the giveaway, the teaching on there is how to worship and serve God with your brain. How God gave you a brain. He wants you to be smart and not dumb. It's a really good message. We forget in the church that God actually is the one that gave us the brain and wants us to use it and exercise it and hone it and sharpen it and care about it. Right? But if we just come at God with our brains, all we will leave Sunday morning with and all we will leave our quiet time with is more information. More information is nice, but it doesn't cross over into God's revelation about your individual design and life for you. And the Bible says that it's not just more information. That's good. You should get more information. We just said that. Be smart. A lot of good reasons to be smart in this world. A lot of really good reasons. But when you come at God with just your brain, you miss the connection point to cross over into the revelation that he has for my life. Brant Eberhardt, what is God saying for me? If I don't cross over from my brain to my spirit and say, Lord, speak to my spirit right now about what I need to do. Well, I tried that yesterday and it didn't work. Can I submit to you? You went to the gym one time and it didn't work either. All right, amen. Let's go home. Well, I went to the gym, and when I went to the gym, I came home, and the next day it just hurt, and I don't like that. Can I get my money back? No, you signed up for an 8-year membership. What? So we come at God and we spend, you know, a few days in his presence, or we come to church a few times and we say, well, that didn't work. Well, baby, have you exercised those muscles a little bit? Have you spent some in times? Have you built up that endurance in your spirit to kind of persevere through how your flesh feels and really dive into letting the Spirit of God touch your life at the core of who you are? Because when you start exercising that muscle, the Lord will give you that red light, green light that you need of stop and go, turn right and turn left, slow down, shut up and sit. That's what he usually says to me. Shut up and sit down. He will give you the instructions that you need for your life. And here is where it comes. It comes in your spirit, man. Not the information. See, people come to church, come to the pastor, and they seek information from God when God's trying to give them revelation. So today, as we pursue my future is bright, it's like, Lord, what are you speaking into my spirit, man? What are you saying right here? Because your word says that you reveal it by your spirit. Yes, the Spirit of God that searches and knows the deep things of God. We don't have time today, but that's where you find in Scripture where he instructs you to rest in the Lord, is right there. It's right there. So today we're going to look at a story, and I'll have to read these scriptures somewhat quickly, but we'll get through it, and I think you'll really enjoy today's teaching. But in Romans chapter 4, 18 through 22, it becomes a summary of the story and the life of Abraham, which we know is the father of our faith, and his wife Sarah. And it reads this: Abraham, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations. He's given us the end, the last scene. Paul is telling us right here. He became a father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body, that's the natural senses, already dead since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform, and therefore it was accounted to him as righteousness. So we're going to look at some excerpts from Genesis chapter 12 through 21, which is the story of Abraham and Sarah. And I believe that we will see from them some lessons to be learned in the area of personal vision. Sarah and Abraham have an interesting story that you need to learn about, and it is one of the central stories of the Bible that you should know about. Lesson number one on the lessons that my vision, or we learn about my vision, my individual vision from Abraham and Sarah. Lesson number one is my vision provides focus and discipline. My vision. So I've said it in the first person. It's your vision, right? It's your individual vision. That's how you should be looking at this. My vision provides focus and discipline for my life. Don't write spouse at the end of that. That's your life. Or friend, or whoever. Genesis 12, 1 through 4 says this: Now the Lord had said to Abram, so here we are at the beginning of the story, get out of your country and from your family and from your father's house to a land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curses you. And in all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. That was his family member. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed to Haran. Abram started with an instruction from God. Man, this is important. Abram, as the father of our faith, and we just read in Romans chapter 4 about the punchline of who Abraham was. He became the father of many nations. The introductory start of Abram's existence in the Bible started with an instruction. Meaning, you're doing this now. I want you to do this now. You were doing that. I want you to do this. You guys are catching on pretty good. You're good listeners. I see you nodding. Okay? So this, while straightforward to you, is something very key within our home. Stop doing that and just stop. Here, we'll get to step two in a minute. I'm going to need you to bring it. Don't. Just stop. Where God is saying, put it down. What you're doing right now is destructive, or what you're doing right now is getting you nowhere. Abram, I need you to get up from your dad's house. Come on now, adults in the room. I need you to get up from your mom and dad's house and from that land. I need you to get up and I need you to go. I'm going to take you somewhere. Well, Lord, I need to know the full outline of what we're doing, and I need to make sure that you understand where our budget is at, and it's really important that you're clear about what kind of car, camel that I'm driving, and it's really, really important that you understand that I haven't gone to REI and bought a new tent, and we just go through all the things. Lord, that is such a cute instruction. That should be a Hallmark card. The Lord spoke to me and gave me an instruction. So good. And we hadn't done diddly squat, just like the four boys in my house, with the instruction that I gave you hours ago. All of this, still the same. All of this, still the same. I want a popsicle. Guys, can I submit to you that the Lord's the same way? He's saying, son or daughter, I need you to get up in the morning and spend 5 minutes with me. And it's been weeks since he's told that to you, and we still haven't been able to scratch out 5 minutes in our schedule. When God's got you being the father or the mother of nations, he's given you instruction of where he wants you to go. Can I tell you, it starts with a simple instruction from God. Get up and go. Well, that just seems too trivial, you know? I just have all these degrees and stuff, and I've got these letters after my name, and God's got to give me more than that. I just need more than him just asking me to get up. Get up and go. Can I tell you that the compass and the direction of Abraham's life, or Abram at the time of Abram's life, God did not give him the next instruction until he got up and went. I've given this illustration before, but faith is much like the headlights on your car. Faith is much like the headlights on your car. You can only see a certain distance. You can't see all of the road. You can't see all of I-25. Well, if I had known that this was going to be like this, these people need to learn how to drive. You know, like, how come they didn't tell me? Get on the road and go. Let's work through patience. Let's build your character. Let's affirm your integrity. Come on, somebody. Let's build some of these things along the way. You can only see so far, but God didn't make a mistake. He needs to grow you, process you, and take you down that road. Abram was called to be the father of nations. Of nations, he was called to be a father. Don't you think there's some stuff that he needed to learn coming out of his daddy's house? He, read it, between chapter 12 and 21, he pinged around all over the Middle Eastern region until he settled in Canaan. You need to hear this. He didn't go straight from Haran to Canaan. He went several different places as the Lord directed him. And all, man, I'm getting ahead of myself, but this is good. All along the way, as he traveled with God, can I tell you, in the middle of his mistakes, because he made some mistakes, read it. He made some mistakes all along the way. But in all that he did, can I tell you what he was doing at each turn, at each step? He was worshiping God. He came back to God. God was at the center of his life. The Bible affirms it by saying, at this place and that place, he built an altar of worship. To saying, God, man, I messed up. Shouldn't have done that. Shouldn't have been here this long. Shouldn't have done that this short. But God, I just worship you. I don't want to remember that you brought me out. Your vision from God provides focus and discipline. One of the verses that we know, Proverbs chapter 29 and 18, it says this, I brought several different versions for you. Proverbs 29 and 18, it says this, when people, this is in the New Living Translation, when people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. But whoever obeys the law is joyful. Here it is in the NIV. Where there is no revelation, there it is again, so not information, not just information, but revelation. Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint, but blessed is he who keeps the law. Here's the New American Standard Bible. Where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained. They are undisciplined. They are unfocused. They just go after whatever. That's why I'm big from Scripture and from my upbringing, honestly, and from Scripture, that there should be some healthy boundaries established in your life. Certainly in your life individually, let me do some coaching for a moment. Certainly within your marriage, there should be some established boundaries. In your work, I'm preaching good right now. In your workplace, there should be some established boundaries. Listen, I don't have time for all that extra stuff over here and over there. And it's not that I'm not a man, and it's not that they're maybe not a woman. But I got a woman at home that does everything that I need. Amen. And I got stuff to go do. And I don't have time for all that. I can take it higher. I don't have time for any of that. You're talking, but I'm headed here. I'm going here. I got focus, and I got to have discipline. When Terry Savelle Foy came and preached and taught, man, was that just a Mack truck right between my eyes about stuff that God has been telling me to do about getting disciplined and focused. And sure, there's plenty of areas in my life that have been disciplined and focused, but there were certain areas that were not. We just kind of had Qdoba whenever we wanted to have Qdoba, and sometimes we just had 3 scoops of queso, and it didn't really matter. So there's an area in my life. We're just talking about a personal issue right now that we're working through. So thank you for joining me in this journey that I'm on. So it wasn't just the Qdoba thing. Trust me, there's many more issues in my life. Just kidding. Kind of. Here we go. Cold Stone's one of them. So there was focus and discipline that needed to be established in my life because God has filled my heart. You guys know I get up here and sweat and spit every week and try to deliver the best what God's put in me about the vision of this church and where God's taking us and what he's doing. I mean, it just saturates every area of my life that the call of my life is to affect and change Denver, Colorado. And we got stuff to do. I don't have time to be doing all this other stuff. The Bible calls us champions of faith. We clap and applaud the champions in the Olympics. What about the champions of faith? I can't be doing that and can't be doing this. I got to be focused. In 4 years, I'm going to be getting up there and performing and doing this and running and blah, blah, blah. I got to be focused. Where's God going to have you in 4 years? What is the vision that he's given you that's got you disciplined and focused that in 4 years, this is the man or woman of God I'm going to be? Can I offer and submit to you that that's scripturally, doctrinally, theologically accurate? That I'm not just floating along to get along. God's placed within me some stuff that I got to get accomplished and that I got to do. I'm not just here floating through life. I'm getting something done. I'm disciplined and I'm focused. Amen. One Watch this, Genesis 13, and I got to hurry. Did y'all start that clock early, or is that really right? That's right, okay. Man, these introductions are just killing me. It's probably the best message I've ever preached, but I mean, you got to be kidding me right now. Genesis chapter 3, you know, the second scripture, Genesis 13, 14 through 17, it says this, and the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, I always appreciate that comment, lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. From all the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever, and I will make your your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered. Arise, there it is, ago, get up and walk to the land through which its length, its width, for I give to you. So first he gave him an instruction. Next, he gave him another instruction to get up and look. This is where God starts developing within Abram. What are you seeing with your spiritual eyes? Not your natural eyes, but your spiritual eyes. It seems absurd to stand up and look north, south, east, and west. How far can you see all of the dust and grains of the ground? That's how many, I mean, you know, that just kind of seems, what is he saying? He's saying that in your spirit, man, I am building within you nations of people. Abram, can you see it? Abram, can you see yourself walking in walking in health and victory? Can you see yourself broken out of poverty? Can you see yourself on the other side of the degree? Can you see yourself as finishing the book that I'm asking you to write? Can you see walking down the aisle in marriage? Can you see yourself, come on somebody, holding that baby that you've been praying for? Can you see yourself walking into a home that you bought for the first time? Can you see yourself walking into the job that God has designed and ordered for you? Can you see you owning your business debt-free? Can you see yourself having a happy and healthy marriage? That's what he was telling Abram. Get up and look. And you start processing and developing and going after God in this way, and you go, my goodness. All these things that I've been fretting over. God really wants me to become and be something. Abram remains focused and disciplined. May I use the word obedient in the process? Is it okay as adults that we use that word, that he remained obedient, disciplined and focused? He remained obedient to God's instruction for his life. It's cute and fun and humorous when we talk about kids being obedient to the instruction of their parents or to their father or mother. When we bring it to adults, somehow we get offended, and I'm not sure about that. We're all friends. I'm the only one sweating. You guys should not feel uncomfortable. Okay, here we go. Number two, the lesson that we see from Abram and Sarah is my vision establishes a process for growth. Man, if you've been around Legacy for any period of time, you know that I'm big on this, that how I am today should be different than how I was yesterday, and who I'm becoming a year from now, September of 2017, I'm going to become a different person because I'm walking with God. There is a process of growth. When we talk about your personal vision, Dr. Dean Radke, one of my favorite people that walks this earth today, he says this, growth without change is impossible. Say it again. Growth without change is impossible. People want to grow and become all the time, but they don't want to change anything. They don't want to change their schedule. They don't want to change their budget. They don't want to change their route. They don't want to change their routine. They don't want to change their coffee. That's not in the Bible. Growth without change is impossible. For the sake of time, look at Proverbs 19 and 21 in the Message Bible. You can read the New King if you want, but I love this in the Message Bible. It says this, we humans keep brainstorming options and plans. Sometimes you just got to take the scripture and read it in the Message Bible, and you go, man, that was too much. Right? I mean, this just puts it right there. We humans keep brainstorming options and plans, but God's purpose prevails. Listen, guys, he has given you a track to go down. He's given you that instruction that you need. He's designing a process for growth for your life. Get up and go. well, how's that going? Man, you were so excited the last time I saw you, this time last year, and you were telling me about all God was doing. How's that going? Well, The area of growth for Abram was faith and trust in God and his leading. And I would probably say for most of us in the room that that be true for our lives as well. Genesis 15, 4 through 6, it says, "And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, Abram, saying," Abraham, or Abram saying, "this one shall not be your heir, but the one who will come from your own body will be your heir." So the backdrop of this scripture is that the Lord said, "I'm going to make you the father of nations." And Abram at the time said, "Yo, Lord, I don't even have a kid. How am I supposed to be a father of nations? And Sarah is not getting any younger, and I am not getting any younger. We are old, and you keep telling me," listen to this in between the lines, "Lord, you keep telling me about who I'm going to be, but I'm not seeing any of it. In fact, Lord, you're crazy. I don't even have a son in which to pass down to be a father of anything. I'm not even a father of one. How could I be a father of nations?" See, the Lord is speaking to your life that one day you'll be a millionaire, controlling and organizing millions of dollars, or maybe that you'll have this or you'll have that, and you don't see it right now. That's what Abram was dealing with, is, "I don't see any of it, Lord." And the Lord comes back to him and encourages him and says, "Nope, it's not going to be Eliezer of Damascus," which is what the Bible says, which was a servant in his household. It was kind of a son in the faith. And he said, "Well, that's a good option, Lord. That would be a good option for, let's use him." That cleverness does not go away, by the way, in this story. Eliezer, he's a good one. He said, no. This is the process for growth, guys. What's the area of growth in your faith that God is walking you through right now as you're growing in that character, as you're trusting in the Lord like you've never have before? That's God's visions keeping you on the road. "But the one that will come from your own body will be your heir." Here it is, verse 5. "Then he brought him outside and said, 'Look.'" A few verses ago, he said, "Get up and see." Now he's saying, "Get up and look." God is continuing at the right times and the right turns of your walking out the vision and the plan, the purpose of God. He's giving you a new and refined vision and illustration of where you're going. So he doesn't just take him outside to look at dust. Now he takes him outside and says, "Look towards the heavens and count the stars and see all of them." You're going to be a father of nations. And if you could count the stars, that's how many descendants you will have. So shall it be in your descendants. God is continuing to encourage him with the vision of his future. "And he said to him, 'So shall your descendants be.' And he believed the Lord, and it was accounted to him for righteousness." God wants to change, ladies and gentlemen, what you see. Some of you have resisted and resisted and resisted as you go into prayer, or you come into worship, or you go into conversations. Listen to me. You go into conversations with people, and they start speaking the same things to your life that the Lord's been speaking to you in prayer. "Man, I just see you being a mighty woman of God. I see you called to do great things in the city of Denver, Colorado." And it's from somebody, and you're thinking in your head, "I ain't saying nothing." And then you go to the Lord in prayer, and the Lord says, "I am calling you to be a mighty woman of God in Denver, Colorado. Get up, Katie. Let me show you something that I want you to see." "Well, Lord, we just looked at dust. I got something better for you. How about dust that glows? Stars." You thought I didn't know. I got more to say there, because Abraham's original occupation was an astronomer. There's an interesting connection between what God was showing him in a picture and where he was at in his daddy's house. You study it out, but it's pretty powerful. God continues to bring to your life images, pictures, confirmation, words of affirmation for your life, just like he did with Sarah and Abram. In Romans chapter 8, in verse 24, as we skip down, it says this: "For we have been saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait with perseverance." What is Paul saying here after these other scriptures? Because we got to speed up because of time. What is he saying? He's saying if you can physically touch it, then your hope and your faith in the thing that God's taking you to, it would be diminished because there it is right in front of you. He continues to put you out further of here I am now. You know, I'm successful in this area. He's saying, nope, we've got more for you to do. Remember, I called you to do this over here, to be a father of nations. As soon as you can touch it, as soon as you've accomplished it, God's saying, I'm taking you further, son or daughter. I'm taking you a step further. I want to take you more. I want to grow you further in this area. And you turn around and you look back and you go, wow, I haven't seen dad's land for a long time. And all along the way, the Bible affirms it in the stories that all along the way that God grew him in cattle, God grew him in riches, in gold, and in silver, and in his household, meaning the numbers of people were richly blessed all around Abram's life along the way as God continued to expand the vision that he had for his own life. There's a powerful testimony of a mother of a national pastor. Well, you know him, Joel Osteen, and his mom, Dodie Osteen, who back in the day, Miss Dodie Osteen was terminally ill with cancer, and she said in her story. Now let's just talk about her story. In her story, the Lord said, "I want you to get out pictures. I want you to get out pictures of seeing yourself riding your horse again." Now, she was terminally ill with cancer, dying, withering away. And she said, "The Lord told me to get out pictures of when I was healthy, when I was riding my horse, when I got married in my wedding dress." And she said, "I kept that before me because my physical, there was no connection. Like, I was dying, and that was who I used to be. And God was telling me in my spirit that this, nope, I'm making you that person again. I'm healing you from the inside out." And you know what happened? She got healed. She's in total remission. She hasn't had cancer for years and years and years. Terry Savelle Foy came here, who obviously had an impact on me. I'm bringing her up again. She talked about putting out vision boards and where's God taking you and where's he directing you and what is he calling you to and pinning it up and praying over it and seeking God. Reasonable, smart goals she talked about, but where is God taking you? He put it before you so that you can see it. This is where God's taking me. God did this same process, a really big vision board. With Abraham, get out and look at the stars. And then next, number three, as we move through these, and learning from Abraham and Sarah, my vision protects me from myself. My vision protects me from myself. Genesis chapter 16, now Sarah, Abram's wife, had not been able to bear children for him. So time had gone by. God continued to give him the promise. But she had an Egyptian servant named Hagar. So Sarah said to Abram, "The Lord has prevented me from having children. Go and sleep with my servant." Now listen, we have just gotten way off. Right? I mean, earlier it was Abram coming up with, "We could do this another way, Lord. We could use Eliezer of Damascus," and now Sarah's coming up with another way. How many times have we come up with other ways to fulfill God's vision in our life, and we get to the other side of falling down, tripping up, falling on our face, and wondering where God's at, and God's saying, "I never asked you to go do that. I never asked you to go sleep with the Egyptian slave Hagar. I never asked you to use Eliezer of Damascus. I never asked you. I'm taking you right here. The vision that I've given you is plain. Get up and go." So the vision, you know, that focus and that discipline, that vision helps protect you from you. What do you mean from me? From your fleshly desires of how to get it done faster. When God's got more to develop in you than you can even see. And Abram agreed with Sarah's proposal. So Sarah, Abram's wife, took Hagar, the Egyptian servant, and gave her to Abram as a wife. Now, the comfort in all of this is that Abram, yes, and they had a son. The son was Ishmael, and we know that Ishmael was not the called seed or descendant of Abraham. This came out of man's fleshly desire to come up with a solution or a fix for the ill timing, as we so thought, of God. When really God was all along the way processing and develop Abram and Sarah to become the people that God wanted them to be. Proverbs 11 and 14 says, where there is no counsel, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors there is safety. Here's what I want to tell you. In Proverbs 11 and 14, where there is no counsel, the people fall, but in a multitude of counselors there is safety. This is why it's so essential in our vision for our individual lives to share with a close circle of people the crazy vision that God's given you for your life. Because in the counsel of a very small group of people, trusted group of people, you know, everything that God's given me and told Abby and I, we don't share with everybody. Jesus even said, I love them all, but I don't trust them. It's in the Bible. He says, I love them all, but I don't trust them. There's a short, small group of people that you share the full, complete vision with. And the crazy, audacious stuff, you share it with those people. Because those people and the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Where they can snap you back and say, that's not a part of the vision. That's not a part of where God's taking us. Abby and I, we pray together before we ever make a decision in this church. We pray together. We pray with the staff. We come together. There's no single person driving anything. In a multitude of counselors, there is safety. Try that in your workplace. Try that in your marriage. Try that in your home. Next, Paul affirms, and I don't want to give you this one, 1 Corinthians 4 and 15, it says this, for even if you had 10,000 others teach you about Christ, you only have one spiritual father. For I became your father in Christ Jesus when I preached the good news to you. So I want to affirm this thought for you, and that is this, that there are spiritual fathers and leaders in your life, men and women, that you should submit the vision to. And share the vision with them, because the vision protects you from yourself. Number four, because I just don't have any time, and if I go there, it's just going to take too much. Number four. The fourth lesson that we learn is my vision energizes me for the future. My vision energizes me for the future. One smart person once said this, if your vision doesn't get you up in the morning, it's not going to get anybody else up in the morning. If you struggle and ache over where it is that your life is going, I would submit to you to hit the pause button and get in the prayer closet and say, God, we got to recalibrate some things. Because I wake up every day just feeling like I'm crushed. Can I tell you that even when the storms of life come, I still get out of bed every day saying, Lord, you were taking care of business with me. I don't care if this world's falling apart. You were moving me forward to that next place. It should bring energy and life to your life, the vision that God would place in you. Genesis 17, 1 through 5, and we end it with these next two verses. It says this, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am my Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you and multiplied you exceedingly. Then Abram fell on his face. He finally got it. And God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. What was God doing? Now we went from looking out beyond his daddy's fence to looking at the dust, to looking at the stars, to him actually bringing it home and saying, I'm changing your name. I'm restructuring, retooling who you are. You're not just a prince, you're a king. Literally, the name of Abram means exalted father. Abraham means a father of a multitude. He changed his name. Then we skip down in verse 15 to the same chapter 17, and it says this: Then God said to Abraham, as for Sarah, your wife, you shall not call her Sarah or Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name, and I will bless her and also give her a son, give you a son by her. There's the answer we've been looking for. And then I will bless her, and she shall be the mother of nations. Kings of people shall come from her. Sarai, meaning princess. Sarah, meaning the queen. Ladies and gentlemen, God may not be flipping your name around like Abram to Abraham, but I believe that he is speaking life and vision over you. And I want you to tune your ears and your spirit, man, to what God is saying about you. You blessed and highly favored woman of God. You strong father. You well-abled businessman. You successful author. You amazing teacher. You life world-changing individual. God is speaking those things over your life. And we say, oh, no, I'm just Abram. I'm just this. I hear, you guys come play the piano, please. I hear God's people all the time saying to me, well, I'm just this and I'm just that. Well, my family's from here and my upbringing's from there and I don't have this and I don't have that. And we talk about all of what it used to be back when we lived in Abram's dad's land, as opposed to everything that God's been speaking to you about right now. We've got to attach our faith to the hope that's within us. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. When we start saying, you know what? I am Abraham. I'm not Abram. I am not Sarah. I'm Sarah. I'm not a princess. I'm a queen. I'm not just a father. I am a father of a multitude. There's energy and life that comes from that. Some of you single folks need to start praying. I believe that God's got the right person, the right mate for me. I can see myself married and happy. I see myself fulfilled in every area of my life. I should see my business in the black and not in the red. You spend any time with God, and I guarantee you those are the words that he's speaking to you. The difference is that Abraham actually trusted God and attached his faith to the hope that was within, and it became the evidence. I believe there's people in the room right now that have allowed the vision of God to die in your life. You have been okay with allowing the dreams and visions, maybe it was from childhood, maybe it was from adolescence, maybe it was from just a few years ago, but you've allowed it to die in your own heart. You haven't been even willing to look at the hope that God's placed within you. Because of all of the disappointment, because of all of the life. Today, I believe God can resurrect that in an instant, in a moment. His plan for you is significant.